дорогие друзья.
Hello, dear friends. We're at our Sunday webinar, as always, in the studio with us, Dr. Michael Lightman, Michael Sinili. So today's topic is a terrific topic, the qualities of unity. As always, we have many groups with us. You can ask your questions live, and we're going to ask Dr. Lightman. We will start with a question from St. Petersburg. What is the benefit of unity and being united one with other souls? Rav, the benefit isn't that each individual soul is not considered to be a soul. It is merely a small part, detached, separated from all the other souls. It cannot feel anything spiritual within itself. Only a certain longing, a desire for spiritual fulfillment, for sensing the Creator, and no more than that. So, an aspiration for unity in the soul, it's included in the nature of the soul. Host, so you said that beautifully, a longing, a yearning. So we have this record in us, right, Ralph? Yes, yes, in each person. But with some, it's deeper. With others, it's more on the surface. Host, so you're saying that either way, everyone is going to come to this, right, if this record is there. Ralph, absolutely. All humans will inevitably come to this desire for unity and to reveal the Creator within that unity. This is included in our root, in the Creator who made all of this, the light, unity, the quality of love and bestowal. We cannot escape this. Host, could you depict the mechanism of spiritual unification? Maybe he wants you to draw it somehow, I don't know. Rav, how can I draw something like that? A mechanism of spiritual unification? I drew many times the juxtaposition of desire. I don't know, maybe we try again. If desires are different, then they are distant from each other. If they have a certain point of overlap, in that point they sense one another. If they share some desires, then the segment between them, it determines their common state. But the thing is, this is not enough, essentially. Suppose only two desires. If they reach a certain point of unity between them, meaning each one needs to overcome himself in order to unite with others, then at this point where they feel common unity, in it, the sigma, everyone knows this symbol. It's a symbol of unity, of connection. In this common unity, they feel a quality called the Creator. This is how it works. Up until we all unite into a common whole, meaning we will fully cover one another with our desires of love and bestowal, we're not going to reach the end of our correction. And to the extent that these desires mingle in us, between us, the Creator is going to reveal Himself more and more in us, and we are going to sense Him better and better. But again, even the minimal contact that here, on this drawing, for instance, at the second drawing, the contact that we achieve here, it already allows us to start perceiving the upper world. Meaning, at the very least, the exit from our world. There is also an exit from our world, the spiritual world, the higher world, but this is already like an exit from our world. It's like spiritual conception. Host, we have a follow-up question. At the point of where the desires touch each other, I begin to sense my new soul? Rav, yes, but it's you don't have the soul yet, right? You just have the Rishimo, the information gene, the spiritual gene, but it's not developed yet. It's like a seed, a drop of semen. If it doesn't get into a place where it can develop, it's not going to develop. Host, question from Odessa. Why is it that the individual soul cannot feel anything spiritual? If it's a new sensory organ, like eyes, I don't need a connection with other people to sense anything. Rav, yes, but this is different. This sensory organ is not in similarity of form, in equivalence of form. All of our sensory organs are built on this principle of equivalence of form. I can only perceive sounds, visual waves, and sort of all sorts of tactile sensations and other influences. These are all waves. I can only sense them to the extent that my inner data sensors are calibrated to receive them, like in a radio receiver. You calibrate the frequency, it changes the condensator, and we change the frequency in this way of the frequency that we want to pick up. And to the extent that the frequency on the inside, the internal mechanism of the radio, is similar, equivalent to the frequency on the outside, we pick up that specific frequency of all the different frequencies that are out there, and we register it in the radio. So this is what we need to do with ourselves. We need to build this frequency sensor that would pick up on spiritual frequencies. How can we do this? Only if we calibrate ourselves to this spiritual qualities of love and bestowal. How can we do that? Only if two people, which is the minimal amount, the minimal quantity, right? Two people. Ideally, you want 10. But even if it's just two of us, if we can begin to start connecting with one another in such a way that each one can act for the benefit of another, then we begin to develop a common qualities that we can start calling spiritual qualities of love and bestowal. It's not simple at all. It can be done egoistically and not in the correct way, so it needs to be done in a very strict manner, under Kabbalistic guidance. We need to understand that it's not a simple process, but if we follow follow the method of Kabbalah, we see that it works. Host, so it's not my sensor, it's our sensor. Rav, that's right, one person cannot do it on his own, because the soul, I can show it here. Suppose this part between us, our common part, our shared part, that's called the soul. This common part. Let's keep going. Host, I wanted to know about the benefit to unity. On the one hand, we see that the scientists have already proven that there are benefits, like from health to all sorts of like economic achievements, from benefits of unity. Like people at work unite, they work well as a team. We see the benefit of unity on a corporate level. Well, what's the benefit in spirituality, Rav? There are benefits in every level. Even if thieves and burglars and criminals, they unite, they still profit from it. They benefit. Host, especially if you unite against someone else, right? But what's the benefit in spirituality? That's what's not clear. Rav, in spirituality, that's not why we unite. We unite in order to develop the quality of love and of bestowal, which is like the Creator. I don't have any other opportunity. Look, let's make another drawing. I am an egoist. This is my ego. I only exist in it, and it's very clear, and I am separate from the Creator. Around me here is the Creator, spiritual frequencies, and Kabbalah explains very clearly how to sense them, but I am opposite to them. I am so opposite that I don't even, this oppositeness doesn't even register in me. Now, how can I create in me similarity so that under this formula of similarity, right, this is the symbol for equivalence, for me to start sensing something on the outside, what happens on the outside. I don't perceive the Creator's frequencies. I don't perceive Him. I perceive myself, a tiny egoist that lives for himself, exists for himself only, and then this short life ends and that's it. Now, how can I make myself into being similar to the Creator? I need to turn myself from my qualities to the qualities of love and bestowal, like His. How can I do that? This is why we have a very simple method, which is what the Creator did. He took and He broke this soul into many different souls. Many different souls. And each one became egoistic. Now, if we unite them between each other, we will achieve a quality of love and bestowal and altruism. So, if you want to perceive the Creator, you have a very clear task here. Let's say, if you take yourself, this is you, and this is your friend. If you start uniting, He unites with you and you unite with Him, then you're going to develop between yourselves a tiny quality of bestowal, and you will be similar to the Creator to some extent, to one extent. And to that degree, in this common quality that you two share, you and He, you will feel, perceive the Creator, but only you, not the rest. Host, it seems clear, but Rav, so this shared quality is called the soul. Host, so, okay, but what's not clear is if the Creator were revealed, or even not Him, but like a quality of His, then I could see, okay, that's his quality. Now I can try to reveal this quality between myself and others. But what is this shared common quality of the Creator? Rav, that's the quality of your bestowal. Try to think not about yourself, but about the friend. Host, but how does this manifest in our world? Rav, try to do what He wants. Host, but that's impossible. I can barely satisfy my desires. How can I satisfy His desires? Rav, that's perfectly clear. I understand. We all understand you. And so in order to become like the Creator, there is a method. You cannot just, suddenly decide that you want it and it's going to happen. Host, so even if He were to show me what bestowal is, I wouldn't be able to do it? Rav, no, you wouldn't. You need to work on it gradually by invoking His force, the Creator's force, by drawing this force that you draw when you want to unite with others, when you exert to unite with others. It's called Or Makif, surrounding light. Now, all of Kabbalah is built around how to draw this surrounding light. Host, so interesting, right? The Creator doesn't want me to acquire the quality of bestowal on my own. Rav, it's not like, He wants, He doesn't want, He doesn't have this, these wants. The Creator is a general force of love and bestowal. He doesn't play with us like people play with each other. It's just a general force of love and bestowal. In order for you to be able to adopt this quality, you have a method. Because there is nothing in common between you and the Creator in order to understand Him. There is only this mechanical game with the friends. When you play with them, And you learn Kabbalah, you study Kabbalah that tells you about these upper qualities, and you, so you draw these qualities onto you, and it changes you, and it allows you to connect with the friends. And in the connection with the friends, as we drew just now, you will feel the sense of Creator in you. Host, we have a question from St. Petersburg. What are these magical qualities in Kabbalah? It's not magic, right? Rav, why magical? We call the quality of love and bestowal wondrous because it allows us to exit the bounds of our ego and feel the next degree. The upper world is here. It exists here. It's not somewhere else. We just need to perceive it. We need to go outside the bounds of the ego and sense it in the new qualities. It's like you go from one frequency in your radio receiver to a different frequency. Same thing here. You switch from egoistic reception of receiving information to an altruistic one, to a different frequency. Host, can we call that a miracle? Rav, well, yes, we can technically call it a miracle because it doesn't exist in this, on the level of this world. It doesn't exist here. It only happens if a person draws the influence of the upper light onto himself. Host, does it happen unexpectedly for the person? Rav, yes, it happens unexpectedly. And it's very, very, very different, very unexpected. Host, so what does a person feel? Rav, he feels that he is ready and capable of giving and bestowal, and he's able to live here. Host, to love everyone? Rav, yes, everyone. He feels that it's all just one Creator. Host, so like I am a single tiny cell, and suddenly I start to feel that I'm part of a big organism? Rav, yes. Host, what question? What does it mean that I'm thinking about myself or about someone else? I'm still me. I'm the one thinking. Rav, no. The difference is, are you thinking about yourself or you're thinking outside of yourself? If I am engaged with others and I'm thinking about others, then I exist in them. I still exist. I don't cease to exist, but where do I exist? Do I exist within my physical body, my animal body, or do I exist in my soul, which exists outside of myself? Host, so that the process of thinking allows me to come out of myself? Rav, no, I can't speak in these terms. You want to implement the corporeal into the spiritual. That's not going to work. Host, I am very disconcerted about the vague terminology in Kabbalah. Upper world, creator. Rav, there's nothing disconcerting about that. The upper world means a state, anti-egoistic state of love and bestowal. What else? What are the terms? Surrounding light. Okay, surrounding light is what we had that existed in us, and it disappeared. It disappeared because we don't correspond to it according to the law of equivalence of form. Just like in this world, any consumer can only consume what he can receive according to his qualities within him. Just like here, I cannot receive the upper light in my existing state because I don't have the corresponding qualities. Meaning, I have the upper light all around me. I exist in a sea of upper light, but I don't perceive it because my qualities are different, opposite from it. So I need to change my qualities, and to that extent, I'm going to start to perceive it. Host, but this actually exists in all sciences, right? Like in music, right? There is a language that musicians understand, and to others, it doesn't mean anything. Rav, yes, but here everything is kind of built on physical laws as well. But on our level, in physical sciences, you speak about corporeal matter, material things, but we're talking about spiritual matter. But the laws are the same. Host, what can the surrounding light do that I cannot do? Rav, the surrounding light does everything. It raises you, it casts you down, it does everything. Everything happens under the influence of the light. It's the upper world, it's energy that controls absolutely everything. What can you do? You can't do anything, because you have absolutely no capacity for independent action at all. Even like when you ask us questions or you lead your life, your personal life, that's not even you. That's the light governing over you. And you are nothing, absolutely nothing. Just like all of us, by the way. We are all absolutely subservient to the upper light without even understanding, realizing that this is happening, host. But there is a, like, when we say, I draw the light unto myself, rough, therein lies our only freedom of will. When we study Kabbalah and we annul ourselves in the connection with the friends, to that extent, we draw unto us the upper light. Host, a question from Moscow. From Florida. He says that in our world, in order for the seed to grow, you need the sun and water. And in order to grow my, cultivate my spiritual seed, what is the sun and the water? Rav, the sun and the water are two forces. The water is the quality of bestowal, the so-called light of Hasidim, and the sun is the opposite. Is the light of Chokhmah, light of wisdom. The combination of these two lights, Or Chassidim and Or Chokhmah, they influence the soul and they develop it. Or Chassidim, water, expands, and the light of Chokhmah, it fulfills. And thus, the spiritual elements are developed. Host, are there any analogies in our world? Rav, this is the analogy. Here is the analogy. You have two forces, the developing and the fulfilling. Host, a person has a spiritual gene, he wants to develop it. Rav, have him study Kabbalah. There cannot be any other analogies. I don't know what you're looking for. Let him... Well, if he eats grains, he'll be like a donkey. Host, question, please explain to us how, like all of these states, like Arvut, mutual guarantee, unification, where does it all begin? Where is the sequence? Rav, where does it all begin? It begins with a group of people coming together. These people want to reveal the, or attain the meaning of life. And they are ready to sacrifice themselves, their time, their efforts, most importantly their ego, in order to so that in the connection between them they will develop the quality of bestowal. Oh, so you can say that the first stage is self-nullification. What exactly am I nullifying? Rav, I am nullifying my ego. I am not making any calculations with respect to my ego. All I care about, all I want to do is be in the group that wants to reveal the Creator. Oh, so the next degree would be, the next stage would be the mutual guarantee. Rav, the next degree would be greater connection between us, where it's not just self-nullification, but we start integrating, mingling into one another, meaning we consent to certain definitions. What is spirituality? What are these qualities of love and bestowal and integration and restriction, screen, and so on? We begin to start learning together. We begin to receive a common lexicon, a common vocabulary, spiritual vocabulary. We begin to understand each other better. We begin to feel, are we walking the right path or no? We check ourselves. There is a tremendous amount of work that's done. But all of it outside of the study is built on the unification between us, host. So after this increased connection, the last is the unity between them, right? Yes, Rob says yes. host, my longing that you mentioned earlier for the spiritual, is it going to grow smaller or larger? Rav, my longing for the spiritual is going to grow larger, of course. My desire is only going to keep growing towards him, even though I'll be confused and unclear, host. But my attitude towards this longing is going to be different. It's going to change, right? Am I going to look at it with more joy, that the fact that I feel more and more of it? Maybe that's the question. Rav, yes, but there are various nuances here that I don't even really accentuate. I just don't pay attention to it. Of course, there are circumstances, sad and annoying in a group, etc., etc. A group needs to understand that it needs to go through it, and many, many others. Host, question, how can you aspire to unity when you start, when you're annoyed and frustrated by others before you realize that you have any control over it? Rough. Yes, the group needs to understand that this is the work. And everyone understands that we're all in this, you know, tense inner state. Host, how can unity protect me from the society of mass consumption? Rav, if the importance of the group, greatness of the group in me is more important than the outside society, or even the whole world, the group is more important to me, then the group protects me. The connection with the group protects me from the world, and if the world is more important than my internal group, then in my small group, then of course I am under its influence, and then nobody can promise me, no one can guarantee me my spiritual future. Host, can you have spiritual unity between a husband and wife? Rav, of course. They can study together at home and in the group. In the group meaning like at the workshops, usually you have, you know, you have a male group separate from men's group versus women's group. But at home, husband and wife can share the spiritual bond. Of course, they can study together. Host, you actually said at one time that you can open up to your wife more so than to a friend, to another friend. Rav, like, yes, you can open up to your wife to more than to anyone else in the world. Host, some question about the city. Rav, a city is what we call a kind of connection between the friends in the group, that though they are all sinners, but city of sinners, but because they are devoted to each other, you cannot overcome them, you cannot defeat them. Host, so though the sinners that unite, are they not even a greater, even more opposite to the spiritual force? Rav, yes, but at the same time, they are more interconnected together. If it's a true spiritual commune, when everyone is devoted and ready to lay down their lives for one another, then they cannot be broken, they cannot be defeated. They are stronger than anyone else in the world except the Creator. Like, they cannot reveal the Creator, but they will defeat everyone else. Host, why? How can that possibly be? Rav, because there is a quality of love and bestowal among them. Host, how can that actually be? Can criminals unite to such an extent? Rav, yes, technically, theoretically you can. I mean, today, they're not, you don't have the kind of criminals. But in the Kabbalistic books, you actually have, it's described that criminals can be united to such an extent that they become very, very powerful. They have more unity between them than anyone else. Host. So it is a city, right? It's surrounded by a wall, so that's what protects them, right? Rav, yes. Allegorically, right? The city has a wall around it. If we build a wall around us, around our unity, and we don't allow anyone to break through this wall, to violate, to disturb our unity, even if we're not fully corrected, nobody can harm us. Host, let's go back to thieves, criminals. It's an interesting topic. Rav, it's actually written in Kabbalistic books, right? Like, what? Remind me, what's good about thieves? They steal and then they sell it for nothing. right? They don't care what they have attained. They help each other in everything. They do their work at night, in the darkness, right? When they don't see anything, they don't care. They're moving forward. What else? Host, what else does it say? I don't really... So if the lock, Rav, if the lock doesn't open by itself, they break it. They force it. And there are four points. There are four more points. Host, where is this written? Rav, I wrote this... It was written by a Kabbalist from the 17th century. I forget. He listed these 8 points. Host, these are things that you can learn from thieves? Rav, yes, from thieves, also and from babies too. Host, but what unites these people? What method unites them? Rav, a common goal. To steal something and to drink it. Host, but we see that it doesn't always work. Rav, look, it doesn't say that it works everywhere, every time. Just it's something that we can learn from. Imagine such a band, a gang, and understand... This is allegorical. Host, we have a good moderator here that found it. Okay, so he found the text. He's joyful in everything. He's always restless and desires from fully into all of his being. So things that we can learn from a thief, what he hasn't attained the night before, he tries to attain this night. He's devoted to his friends. He risks himself to acquire even insignificant things. What he stole, he sells for nothing, for a trifle. He sees the benefit to his trade, even if others don't. If he tries to open the lock, and if the lock doesn't open, he breaks it. And it's written by Magid, a great Kabbalist of a previous century. The 10 rules of spiritual work. You know, it's not actually last century, but the century before, because this book I wrote in the last century. Host, can I feel the upper light to such an extent that I will start healing in this life? Rav, healing? Yes, it's possible, but no guarantees. It's not easy. Of course, the upper light, it corrects absolutely everything on all levels. Physical and moral and psychological and every other level of desire. But we cannot talk about it yet in order to impact it in a purposeful manner. Some time is going to pass, and then you will see that Kabbalah can do anything. Host. But at the same time, you're saying that you cannot ask for yourself. Or are there things that you can ask for yourself? Or is there nothing for yourself, but only for others? Rav, yes, but if a person cannot study the upper spiritual work, if something is bothering him, he can ask to rise above these disturbances. Question from Moscow. Dear Rav, why is it that when I study Kabbalah, the Creator puts me in situations that shame me? Rav, that's to teach you to restrain your ego a little bit. What's wrong? What's so bad about you being ashamed? You're afraid that you're going to be caught in like an unflattering circumstances. It's to help you lower yourself, to detach from your ego. Host, what does it mean that he who multiplies knowledge multiplies sorrow? What sorrow are we talking about? Rav, he who multiplies knowledge multiplies sorrow, because if we multiply knowledge but don't balance it out with the system of bestowal, meaning there is the light of Chochmah but it doesn't clothe in the light of Hasadim, then in this we discover, instead of the light, we discover darkness. Host, so that's my I that's growing, yes? How can I cancel my ego if I only have the ego? Am I lying to myself? Is it a delusion? How can I cancel the ego? Rav, this is why we have a connection with other friends, so that my ego would serve to help him, and his ego serves to help me. And thus it works that our interconnection into one another, it creates a field, an anti-egoistic field. Question from Chicago. Devotion for one another, is it a purely human quality, quality of human relationships? Rav, I don't know what devotion is. I have not seen this in our world anywhere in its pure form. It's not devotion for one another. It needs to be very clearly... I don't know how to... Like, you ask questions that we don't have the opportunity to really check them. We don't have this lab in which that we can scrutinize them. When you ask about devotion, what is devotion? Devotion is when I prefer a certain quality, a certain desire above all the others. This I can only do if the upper light is influencing me. That's not me, because I don't have anything good in me. I don't have anything bad either. It's just the interplay of two lights, the light of Chokhmah, the light of Chassidim. The greater the light of Chokhmah, the more of an egoist I am, the more Hasidim, the more of an altruist I am. So the combination of these two lights determines whether I am devoted, whether I love, whether I hate, whether I'm ready to bestow, or I want to receive and take. That's it, host. So it's only possible on the spiritual world. Like on our level, not everything is dependent on these two lights, Rav, in the spiritual as well. I don't have anything else besides them. Host, dear Rav, why is it that despite all of your explanations about the common soul are clear, it's so difficult to actualize these things in the group? Rav, because you're not in a group. You put yourself in a group, and then you will understand that everything is actualized. Everything is actualized. Try to come... To unite in the group, and you will see how easy everything becomes, how simple. Everything disappears, everything vanishes, all the bad things. It's only if you acquire the upper light with the friends, it will give you wings, it will allow you to do everything. Otherwise, of course, it's going to be very difficult. Any action that does not invoke the upper light, the upper force, any action becomes impossible. It's just, there's nothing you can do. Host, interesting question here. Why do people come to the Congress? The day after tomorrow, our Congress is beginning. Not tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. Rough. The day after tomorrow, our Congress begins. Why do people come to a Congress? Well, you see, like today, how many people did we have today, guests? Hosts. We have, like, every day a couple of hundred people that are coming. Rough. So, host, so about between today and tomorrow, we're going to have another 1,000 who are going to come. Rough. So why do these people come? It's such a difficult journey, and it's expensive, and it's just hassle. A person leaves his family to be here. But the charge that a person receives at a Congress, he cannot get anywhere else. And it doesn't depend on me. I'm being very serious. What you hear at the Congress, from me, what you'll hear, and versus what you hear from me right now, when I'm talking to you in front of your screens, it's the same. There is absolutely nothing... There is no difference. The only problem is the environment that we're in. As Baal Salam writes in the article Freedom of Will, it's all because you arrive into an environment that influences you. It raises you. It shapes you. And you become pliable. You become you start being like them. You start losing yourself in the good sense of the word, and everything becomes easy. everything becomes natural because you have a common kli, the common desire that's not shattered into thousands and thousands of parts, but it's common. The upper light then begins to shine in the common desire, and once you have the light shining in the common desire, that's it. Everything else, that changes everything. We begin to sense the life of the soul versus the life of our mortal body. Host, question from Rostov-on-Don. Where does the fear come from when you want to study Kabbalah, this uncontrollable fear? Rav, the fear when you want to start studying Kabbalah comes from the fact that you don't know what it is, what Kabbalah is. There is nothing better, nothing more as essential as starting the process of correcting your soul. It preceded your life here in this world. It will still be here after your physical body is gone. It's part of your ego, part of your spiritual self. It's here so that you can learn to sense, to perceive your spiritual self while in this life. Start associating yourself with the soul and not with the physical body. This is what we must come to. There is nothing else here that is there's nothing here that's scary or frightening in any way. Host, back in the 3rd century, it was written by Kabbalists that everyone judges to the extent of their corruption. It's unclear, like, if a Kabbalist sees all people. On the one hand, he sees that the world is full of wars and all kinds of bad states. On the other hand, he sees that it's all he did all of these things. He associates everything with himself. How can these two states exist at the same time? Rav, when a person looks at the world and sees that he sees his own reflection, that it's all in him, that it's all in me, but I cannot correct all of these things, so that's why I was given a 10. Host, so he sees all these things, but he doesn't say that he's at fault for this. He just sees it. Rav, what do you mean, like, he just sees it? He has nobody to blame. You're going to blame the Creator? That's the only one you can blame. This is your soul that is given to you, and it's corrupted for you to correct it. Host, so everyone judges to the extent of their corruption. Rav, the more you correct yourself, the more sharp your vision becomes, and the more you see the world isn't corrupted, because even the smallest corruption, you seems great to you. Host, and you complain to the Creator? Rav, you don't complain to the Creator. You ask the Creator for the light of correction, and so that you can correct it, and you're grateful to him for it, because by absorbing these negative qualities of the world and by correcting them, you begin to attain the greatness, the grandeur of the Creator, his exaltedness. Host, so from what I understand, the Kabbalist doesn't complain to anyone. Rav, to anyone. Host, but just to himself. Rav, not to himself either. Everything is done by the Creator. Host, but he doesn't complain to the Creator, right? Rav, well, to the Creator, yes, he does. He has demands of the Creator, because he is the root of all things. Then, of course, he can only address the Creator. He just needs to, you need to clarify, scrutinize how to address the Creator. Why did the Creator give us such bad qualities? Why does he allow us to? Why do we have these negative qualities? What do we do with them? Host, so if we take a sober look at this world and this method, if people didn't have complaints to each other, but only to the Creator, only to themselves, then essentially the world would be different. It would look different. Rav, would you correct the world as a result or no? What are you telling me, host? If nobody had any complaints to one another. Rav, if nobody had any complaints to one another, then everyone would be animals. Host, so it has to be here. Rav, well, it's a dog-eat-dog world, right? Host, so people always need to have complaints for one another. No, people need to have complaints to one another, but they need to understand that the root of these complaints and these problems with each other is the Creator who broke, who shattered our souls in order for us to then try unite them. And as when we failed, we would address Him and we would turn to Him and ask Him to do it for us. And in such a way, we would become partners with Him. Then we would understand why He did what He did, why He took the one soul and He shattered into many pieces. And why we are now asked to start this work. And that each time that we would we needed to correct a tiny piece of the soul, we would go to Him and we would become His partners, and in this we would attain His level, the Creator's level. This is the ultimate state of humanity, to be one with the Creator, partners with the Creator. Host, question from Munich. Can you escape fear by starting to study Kabbalah with others? Well, perhaps, you know, this is why maybe he's being driven to study Kabbalah, but it's not really why people come. People come to learn the meaning of life, but some people may also come from out of fear, out of uncertainty, out of not being secure in this life. Host, can I pull myself out of this egoistic field by watching the webinar and reading the Book of Zohar? Rav, no, you cannot pull yourself into any kind of field. You can only do it with the help of the friends. Just so you have to understand, get it in your head, through your head, that no matter how difficult or impossible it may seem, you can only do it with the friends. Host, it's a great art of Kabbalists to feel to the smallest corruption as the opportunity to make a great correction. Rav, as a Kabbalist grows, he sees the smallest corruption as a great correction. Go to any go to a doctor, like an amateur doctor. A bad doctor is going to like, oh, it's not a problem, here is a pill, take it and that's it. But a more advanced doctor, a better doctor, is going to say, no, this is a big problem, this is how we need to approach it, this is what we need to do. The higher you are, the higher the degree of the soul's correction, the more like obscure qualities we're dealing with, the more important we see them as. Host, this governing program, what's the connection between, you know, the system of governance, the governing force, and the unity in the group? What is the connection between them? Rav, it's the same thing. Like, where do you see the Creator? Where do you feel Him? How do you understand Him? Where do you sense His qualities? Where do you contact with Him? Only in the group. Only in the right qualities that you create amongst yourselves. Host, well, what about the many people that say there's no besides Him? Rav, they need to go see a psychiatrist. Host, yeah, but people feel that there is a force that controls them, governs them. Rav, yeah, they need to see a psychiatrist. I mean, very serious. Host, so what do you mean see a psychiatrist? Like, there are billions of people that say this. Rav, so does that mean that they're correct? Does that mean that they're correct, that there are many of them? I have nothing else to add. We see what the world looks like, don't we? Host, question from Moscow. If a spiritual attainment is individual, then how is uniting with others I'll help me go through anything? Rav, explain, clarify that. Host, we talked about the fact that in the past we went through something, and now in this generation, Rav, like, what has our generation got through? We're the first at this stage right now. We need to undergo it. We begin with Kabbalah being closed, concealed. For 2,000 years it's been concealed, and now it's undergoing a rebirth, and we are the ones at the forefront, and we are pioneers. We're the first to do it. So the question is, were there corrections in the past that we no longer need to undergo? Right, that's the question. Suppose that that's the case. Let's say yes. We're going to talk about this in depth at some point, because at the degrees of inanimate vegetative, animate levels of the soul, the correction is practically complete. But on the human level, we still have to do it. Host, why can't we attain how the Creator is making these actions, but only how we perceive them, the Creator's actions? Rav, well, that's exactly it. These things don't exist somewhere outside, somewhere like some great plan outside, and then it goes, descends, comes down to us. We can talk about the developments in such a way. It's maybe easier for us to understand it that way, but the truth is that everything happens in us. But only from our inner qualities that we don't sense to the higher ones that are closer to us, external ones. A host, what about animals? Do animals perceive the Creator? Rav, no. Host, but what about, like, we take examples of, like, an ant hill, ant colony, and so on. Rav, in them, the upper force, the Creator, acts automatically. Just like in all people, when we feel that this is a bad person, this is a good person, this is a smart person, that's a dumb person, we don't realize to the extent to which this is determined only by the Creator, and no one else, absolutely by no one else. There's no freedom of will anyone has. Everyone does only what the upper force dictates to them. Host, but it's concealed in us. Rav, yes, it is concealed, but the people that come closer to the Creator's governance, to sensing the Creator, in them it's revealed. They begin to sense whether they're connected to the Creator in a direct way or indirect, whether they actualize His will or not. Host, and then what? So do they feel sorry for the people, for others? Rav, no, why should they feel sorry? They live how just as they live. They're being controlled, they're being governed. Host, well, suddenly I feel that I'm the only one that has freedom of will. Everyone else is just, they're all just robots programmed. Rav, when you look at your little son, don't you see that he's fully controlled? Host, yes, I do. Rav, yes, so what? Host, well, I do feel sorry. I do feel bad that I have to wait a few years in order to have a conversation with him. Rav, no, you don't need that. It's only going to make him miserable. Why would you need him to understand that he's being controlled, that he needs to correct something? Just the opposite. But if he's given the opportunity, if he has the opportunity to correct himself, then it needs to be revealed to him. But if he cannot correct himself, if he's not in a state, he's not in an environment that where he can do that, then absolutely do not do that. Do not put obstacles before a blind person. Host, so I shouldn't teach him these things? Rav, if thereby you deprive him of the opportunity to make a correction, then don't. Host, the unity of a common soul, does that mean that all the Kabbalists throughout history are currently connected to us? Rav, of course. They're not like connected to us by a modem, but we're all part of one network. Host, he continues, you used to recommend that we ask them questions directly. How do we do that? Rav, you just ask them questions directly. Just go ahead, do it. You'll start developing certain inner sensations. Question, why can I turn away from Kabbalah? I'm like literally sick in the good sense of the word. I'm going to be at the Congress. Rav, come to the Congress, we will cure you. Why do you need to turn away from Kabbalah? What else are you going to do in life? I can't imagine how I could turn away, disconnect. What would I do? What would I do when I get up in the morning? Host, well, you're like a retiree. Rav, okay, so what if I'm a retiree? Like, what would I do all day with my life? What would I engage in? I would wait for my years to run out, like another year or two. And then what? Host, like, read something, watch something on TV, internet. Rav, well, yes, of course you can find a way to while away all the time. But it's difficult, it's hard to imagine. Host, well, what do you live for now? What drives you? What is your goal? Rav, today, if there were 40 hours in a day, I would love it. Host is like a fire in his engine. Well, what do you want to achieve that you haven't achieved yet? Rav, me? Everything. Host, what are you missing? Rav, I'm missing everything. Host, what do you mean everything? What is your goal for today? Rav, for today? No, for today, I'm worn out for today. I've been up since 3 a.m. Host, what is your goal for the Congress? Rav, my goal for the Congress is for everyone to weep and cry and hug and understand each other and understand the Creator. And to influence all of our groups in the world. Look, St. Petersburg, Moscow, Romania, Almaty, we saw Azerbaijan. Look at all the people, all the groups, for everyone to be with us. Host, let's say we achieve this. Then what? Rav, then what? Host, okay, so everyone is weeping, crying, the Congress is done, what happens then? Rav, we're gonna rise to the upper world. Look at Nizhny Novgorod, Vilnius, Nikolaev. What I would want, of course, is for people to start revealing the upper world. Then our world would become different. It would be different. Host, do Kabbalists delight in other people revealing the Creator? Is that the biggest pleasure? Rav, we're talking about one soul. This is all one soul. So it is a tremendous, tremendous joy when there are other people that are brought in to this. They begin to understand, to feel, to perceive, to be fulfilled by this wondrous information, the sensations of being outside of time and space and motion. Host, so for a Kabbalist, it's the biggest pleasure when he sees other people begin to study this and to attain. Rav, of course, because he also senses how he's pushing, helping these people towards the Creator, and they start to feel this great this sensation. Host, does it give you the fact that these are your students? Do you feel that these are your students, that you're pushing them towards this? Rav, no, I don't feel like they're mine, like my students. Like, I give, I bestow, and that's it. I don't have the sensation that they're mine, they belong to me. Like, we talked about the archive, like, that we're working on an archive. We want it to be a very serious internet project that would allow everyone in the world to perceive this method in the right way, in all languages, on the right level, and to enter this system of correction, the right perception of the Creator and the upper light, and to in the new dimension. This is what I am concerned with, for this to happen. But people, I gift people everything I can, and then everything else, it does not belong to me. It belongs to them. Host, I actually don't want to ask any other questions. Okay, we're going to present it at the Congress. Today we did we had a brainstorming session, and we had a lot of interesting ideas. Today's technologies allow you to, like, for every person to, let's say, enter. We have like 30,000 lessons, and depending on his desires and what he wants, he's going to be shown a certain kind of material. But for Senka, it would be a different kind of material. He can combine his own, like, make his own playlist. He can like adapt our archive for himself. Host, right? It's different from what it was before. Like, there was one archive for everyone, but now current technologies make it possible for everyone to kind of individualize it for them, customize it for them. Rav, okay, it will be done. So, we will see each other at the Congress the day after tomorrow. It begins at 9 a.m. Host, just one thing that we need to just say. February 27th in St. Petersburg, there is a course that's starting, but we are starting our Congress the day after tomorrow. It's going to go on for 3 days in Ganei Torah in Tel Aviv from February 20th to the 22nd. Everything is going to be broadcast on Cop TV. Be with us, Rav. Yes, good luck. Be with us, and together we will break through. Take care.